Hello there, welcome to the Furtive American. I am the Furtive American, and today's episode is going to be rather short, but it's short because, and it's kind of different, there's no intro today, because it's not as well scripted or well put together as the other episodes, simply because there's been something on my mind and something on my heart that I've been thinking about for a while. It's got to do with church again. But yeah, it's been weighing heavy on my mind, I thought it would get easier as time goes on, but it hasn't been the case. In fact, if anything, it's gotten even more difficult to deal with, as time goes on. And so, you know, I was struggling really to figure out what to talk about this week, what to write about. But this thing has been overwhelming in my head. And so I decided, hey, you know, let's just talk about it on the show and let's see what people think about it. And really, the whole idea of what I was thinking about was, your sin will find you out. And this thought isn't something that, you know, I just lob at people and groups as if it doesn't apply to me. It definitely applies to me as well. That your sin will find you out. And it's hard to deal with when you have to look at people whom you thought were godly, that you thought were supposed to be Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians, but they start to do things which seem to contradict that position. And so, yeah, there was an incident that happened yesterday at work too that kind of made me think about this a bit more. But yeah, maybe let's just go back to the beginning, where basically in the church that I was I am attending at the moment, we have a new facility that we've taken over for about a year. We sort of moved in for about a year now. Actually, is it about a year? No, it's about half a year. Yeah. So for about half a year, we're in our new building. We're in our new facility. And for reasons which I can't go into at the moment, we needed to, so we're using the place. It's not a church building in and of itself. It's a building of another sort that we're using. And in this country that we're in, you know, it's, these sorts of things are heavily regulated just to make sure that people aren't misusing properties, which are kind of precious commodities here. And so there are a lot of regulations as to what sort of places people, churches can use. And this particular place requires occupants to have some sort of a business. And so at the time, my church was wondering what sort of a business they could apply to use this place under. And at the time, they came to a conclusion that, hey, maybe let's try putting in, or rather applying under a media business. And so they got in touch with me, and we had we had quite a few discussions. But long story short, the idea that was given to me was not actually what they wanted. So the goalpost kept shifting, and what was supposed to be ended up being something else completely. And I had to withdraw from the planning committee due to a whole host of issues. But basically, I came to realize that, that what they were looking for was not advice, but kind of just a rubber stamp on what they wanted to do. And I said, if that's what you want to do, then there really isn't a need for me to be involved because, yeah, you guys already know what you want to do, and I can't rubber stamp that for you. And there was a whole big brouhaha, which I won't go into. But essentially, I had to withdraw completely from the planning committee. But what really was concerning for me was that at one point, when we were supposed to submit documents of the business of this place, they had taken a lot of the plans, a lot of the ideas for a business that I had, which was essentially a production house, a post-production house with a studio, and they submitted it to the authorities. And at the time, there wasn't really a strong push for that business to actually happen, which I flagged out, but they were like, "Hey, well, it's gonna happen. It's just not right now, but it's gonna happen. So don't worry about it." And I think what was most frightening to me was I was asked, essentially, in my opinion anyway, they would probably disagree with this, but I was asked to put on a show for the government inspectors to see that we were running a media business when really no such thing was happening. I knew full well that no such thing was happening. They knew full well that no such thing was happening. But nonetheless, me and my wife were asked to put on a show as if there was production going on. I mean, I was stunned when the request came through, and it came through in writing. It wasn't a verbal thing, so it had to be official. And it was purportedly under the guise of the exact phrase was, we need to simulate that operations were going on. And maybe if this thing comes to light even more, I'd share more. I don't really know whether I want to share more, but that was what happened. I was essentially being asked, in my opinion anyway, to lie to authorities. And we, in very firm terms, said no. We tried to be as polite as possible, but we said no. Because we don't believe that's right. If something really was of God, we wouldn't have to lie about it. And in my opinion, anyway, there was something deeply wrong with what was happening there. Nobody died, nobody got hurt, but still, we were being asked to lie, and it really concerned me that this was indicative of the sort of people who were in leadership in the church at that time, and they are still here today. And nothing is being done about it. We're still using the facility. I don't think many of the members are aware that this thing happened in the way that it did. And this has been bothering me and my wife for a while now. Because, you know, we recognize that there are a lot of good people in this church, but there is rot in the top. There is sin in the camp, and it's at the top. And a lot of times when I think about it, my mind goes to the story of Achan in the book of Exodus, where Israel was going to, they had just conquered Jericho, and they were going now to conquer Ai, this tiny city of Ai, and they thought, hey, you know, this one's going to be easy. Let's just quickly get this over and done with. And they failed because Achan had sinned against God, taken something from Jericho that he was not supposed to, and he then caused Israel to be unable to conquer Ai because of his sin. And literally, God said, there is sin in the camp. And they had to find him out and execute him before they could carry on conquering and progressing in the conquest of the promised land. And that has been weighing heavy on my mind. There is sin in the camp. We can't move forward. We can't keep doing the work of God if there is sin in the camp. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we all have to be perfect people, that we all have to have no sin in our lives. That I think is impossible. If we're to be honest with ourselves, that's just impossible. But we know from Scripture that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Unfortunately, that's not what's happening here. I'm not the only one who has observed this, although not many people have observed this, and I'm not the only one. And when leadership was posed questions about the facility, they kind of just brushed it off and they said, oh, everyone does this, which I know is not true. But there is no, absolutely no indication of repentance or remorse, which is concerning. And yeah, me and my wife, we're trying to figure out what we ought to do next because we don't think that God will bless. And we know from Scripture that, hey, your sin will find you out. And this, even though right now everything seems fine, stuff can happen easily. Stuff can happen that will cause sin to be found out. And I mean, I'm not trying to be that instrument. You can tell that I'm trying to hide a lot of details. There are a lot of more things that happened that, you know, I'm not talking about here on this show, but yeah, we know that our sin will find us out eventually. And there isn't even a struggle about this. That's the most incredulous thing. There isn't even a struggle. For some reason, they've convinced themselves that this isn't wrong, that this is completely fine, that we need this, we need to do this because we need the facility. I really don't know what to think. And yeah, the yesterday there was an incident at work for me that kind of reinforced the idea. Basically, someone did something that they weren't supposed to do. They knew that this wasn't the procedure for handling this sort of a thing at work, and they still decided to do so, and now they're in kind of big trouble because basically an end user complained to me that, you know, hey, how can you guys do things like this to your customers? And I was like, what are you talking about? And through the course of an investigation, we realized that one of basically someone had deviated from policy very, you know, very seriously, and without our knowledge. And now that thing has come to light. And this person who deviated from policy knew what the policy was, knew what the procedure was full well, but still deviated from it anyway. Or at least that's what the investigation is kind of revealing to us at this time. But yeah, it just reinforced the idea that, hey, you can sin, you can hide, but your sin will find you out. If you're, I mean, at the very least, if you're not repentant of it, if you're not trying to put away that sin, if you're not even trying to follow after God, if you just blatantly commit sin and you think you can get away with it, you're just kidding yourself. You won't get away with it either in this life or the next. That's what I believe anyway. And I wish that church leadership would look at this thing and deal with it and address this thing. Not because I want to be vindictive and see someone suffer or someone get embarrassed or someone, have to go through the very hard and painful task of giving an account of what they did, especially when it wasn't right. But again, there is sin in the camp, and we're not going to be able to move forward if that sin remains in the camp. That's really all that's on my mind. And it's even more, it's really difficult to be in church and look at all this ritual and pomp about worship and a lot of nice flowery words about trusting in God and doing the right thing and living a godly life when you know that something wrong has gone on in the same church and is being actively covered up, is being actively concealed. It's hard. It's hard to deal with. I mean, I'm sure someone out there has gone through similar. And if you have something similar that you've gone through, please do share. But it's hard to deal with. And me and my wife are troubled, very troubled by it. We are still figuring out whether or not, what we ought to do about this. This issue has been long-standing. It's developed over the course of about a year and a half now, and we've kept very quiet about it, because we want to ensure that when we do speak up about it, that our hearts are in the right place, our minds are in the right place, and it is the correct moment to do it. That because we recognize these sorts of things can cause dissension within the church. It can cause it can cause a split, it can cause a schism, it can cause, I don't know, a divide. It's high friction, sparks will fly, and we're being very, very careful. We're trying to be very, very careful about who we talk to about this, how we talk about it, when we talk about it, so that we don't contribute to the destruction of a church where there are good people. So yeah, we know we have to do something about it. We're just trying to figure out when, where, and how. And so yeah, this has been weighing heavy on my mind. Again, I do apologize. This episode is not as well crafted and scripted and put together as the others, but it is something that has weighed heavy on my mind for a while now, and it weighs heavy every weekend when we go to church. And yeah, pray for us. I mean, I know you don't know who we are specifically, but pray for us and pray that God will show us where we ought to go, what we ought to do, because we don't really know either. And of course, if you have experience in this or a similar experience, please get in touch. Let us know what happened to you, what you did. I am on Twitter at Fred of American. And please do get in touch and let us know, because we're trying to figure out what to do. We don't have the best clue about this. We are not that wise. We are not that advanced in age to have decades of experience under our belt. But we'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you anyway. Please do get in touch and start a conversation about this. You know, it doesn't have to be a tweet. It can be a DM. That's fine. Once again, thanks for listening today. And I hope this has been an encouragement somehow. And if you're going through something similar, please know you're not the only one. Hopefully we can see something come out of this and some resolution come out of this. And so until we meet again, goodbye.